Last Sunday, churches throughout North America were full, right? Like filled to overflowing. It's Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday offers great hope through the resurrection of Christ, which turns into this very powerful and meaningful and worthy time of celebration. But what often happens after Easter Sunday is the energy begins to fade a little. And life kind of returns to normal. There are studies that have shown that attendance can drop significantly the week after Easter across North America by 20 to 30% within the Christian church. And that should raise an important question. What happens after the resurrection? Not to the church attendance, but to our personal lives. What happens to our spiritual lives? And this question, I would suggest, matters because the resurrection was never meant to be a one-day event, a one-day celebration. It was meant to become a lived reality in the lives of followers of Christ. Easter declares that Jesus is alive. Communion, what we're celebrating today, reminds us that He is still with us. We don't move on from Easter. We move deeper into it. And we do that partly at the table. The table reminds us that Jesus is still alive. Last week we celebrated the cross, right? On Monday, Thursday, we gathered together and we reflected on the fact that on Friday, Christ was going to be nailed to the cross. And then Sunday, we gathered up at the cemetery bright and early in the morning to not see a sunrise like we saw this morning. But to reflect on the fact that Christ was not in the tomb, but indeed had been raised. The table reminds us that He has been raised from the dead and that He is still with us today. I want you to turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 14. If you're using one of the church Bibles, you're going to find that on page 720. And this will be our main passage for today, so you'll want to keep a finger there if you happen to be jumping other places as well. But Mark 14. And we'll pick up at verse 22. It's Mark chapter 14, starting verse 22, says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, 'Take it, this is My body.' Then He took a cup. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. 'This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many,' He said to them. 'Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God.'" And that's where we'll pause. Lord God, we come to You this morning. We thank You for the time of worship that we've already experienced. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we dive into Your word this morning, as we prepare to take communion together as a church body this morning, that You would speak into our lives. That we would be reminded that what took place, what we celebrated last Sunday, again, was not meant to be a one-time event. But it was meant to be lived out in us. And it changed us. Father God, be a part of this time of our service, we pray. In your holy name, amen. So if you're worshiping with us online this morning, we would encourage you at your house to get some elements, because at the end of the service, we will be receiving communion together. But as we prepare for communion this morning, let's start this time by looking kind of at the table and what the table represents, what the table means. Just some thoughts before we come to the table this morning. So the first thing I want to point out is that this table that we're going to come to this morning helps us remember what matters most. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Communion is not just about looking back. Communion is about remembering correctly. When we take communion together, we need to remember the cross. We need to remember the empty tomb. We need to remember our living Savior. And unfortunately, in our humanness, oftentimes we are a little bit of forgetful people. We forget things. We forget the grace that God has offered to us. We forget what Jesus has done by dying on the cross. This is only a guess. But even now, just 1 week after we celebrated the greatest miracle of all, right? Just 1 week since we celebrated Christ's resurrection from the tomb, I'm going to guess that probably some of us in at least areas of our lives have slipped back into the normal routines and in a sense moved on with life without maybe this last week giving much thought to Christ's love and the depth of his love to us. That's a week. The problem is that when we forget, we begin to drift as well. And biblically, remembering should be an active thing for us. It should shape our identity. It should recenter our lives. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. By his wounds we are healed." At the table, we remember that our healing came at a cost. Just think about how quickly we forget what matters most. For many of us, all it takes is some extra stress added to our week. For many of us, all it takes is one difficult conversation or a really big disappointment that we have to face, and suddenly we're living as if God is distant, as if grace is limited somehow, or as if we're just on our own and we need to navigate this world by ourselves. But communion, coming to the table, interrupts that drift, and it brings us back in a sense. It grounds us again in God's truth, that he is with us. Jesus knew that we would forget. So he gave us something tangible, something we could hold, something we could taste and receive, so that our faith would not remain just abstract. So when you take the bread today, when you come forward in just a little bit, don't rush. In fact, pause as you come to the table. Remember, his body was broken for you. Like, try to put on blinders so you don't even know anybody else is here. And think of it, Christ's body was broken for you. Remember, when you take the cup, pause again. Your sin is forgiven. And again, put the blinders on and think of it just as you. Christ went to the cross. He shed his blood. And as you take the cup, it symbolizes that, and it's a reminder that your sin is forgiven. I encourage you, and these questions, just so you know, they'll be on the screen as we take communion together in a little bit. They're on the screen right now. But at the end of the service, when we come to take communion, I encourage you to think through these questions. What truth have I been living disconnected from this week? Or where do I need to be recentered in Christ in my life? It's critical for us as followers of Jesus to not just remember facts that we've learned or read or been taught. But we need to remember a Savior, His love and His sacrifice. And if the table helps us remember, it also begins to change us. And that's the second thing the table does, right? It is number two, the table invites us into a new way to live. If you remember back to our main passage in Mark chapter 14, verse 24, Jesus said this. He said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." When Jesus says in that passage, "This is my blood of the covenant," he is declaring that everything has changed. No longer is faith about external performance. It is about internal transformation in our lives. And that means something for how we live our lives. It means something for how we go about living our lives when we walk out of these doors today. And we walk into our workplaces tomorrow, into our schools tomorrow, into our communities tomorrow. If Christ lives in us, then our lives should begin to reflect Him. And that shows up in our words, that shows up in our reactions, it shows up in our priorities, in our calendars, it shows up in our relationships. In Ezekiel 36, we see that it is a new covenant that transforms us from the inside out. In Ezekiel 36, it says, "I will give you a new heart I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you." This covenant is not external. It's internal. It reshapes desires and priorities, and it reshapes actions. Again, in our main passage, Mark 14:24, it said, "This is my blood, the new covenant, which is poured out for many," it went on to say. The phrase "poured out," that matters as well. Jesus didn't just give partially, he gave fully, poured out. And the covenant calls us to a similar posture. Not earning salvation, but responding to it. This morning, again, as you take communion, you'll see these on the screen, but I encourage you to think through these questions. Where am I holding back instead of pouring out? Where is God calling me to live differently? Maybe, just maybe, it's forgiveness. Maybe it's generosity, maybe it's obedience that you've delayed in your life. The table is not just a reminder. It's an invitation to transformation in our lives. This table invites us into a new way to live. Because of the table, we don't just believe differently, but we live differently. So because of the table, we're not just remembering better, we're living differently. And if that's true, then there's something ahead of us that's worth living for as well. And that's the third point, is this table points us toward a future that we can trust. In Revelation 19, verse 9, it says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Communion, what we're going to experience together in a few minutes, is forward-looking. It points us to the coming kingdom. Isaiah 25, 6 says, "The Lord Almighty will prepare a feast." This meal is a preview of eternity. Again, in our main passage, if we go beyond verse 24 to verse 25 in Mark 14, it said, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When Jesus says "until that day" in that passage, he is reminding his disciples, he is reminding Dustin, he is reminding you, he's reminding us that this is not the end of the story. There's a future coming. A restored world, a complete healing, a final victory. And every time that we take communion, we are rehearsing that future. We are remembering, we are reminding our hearts that what we see now is not all that there is. Thank the Lord for that, right? The world we live in. That should get an amen. Let me say it again. We're reminding our hearts that what we see is not all that there is. Amen. Yeah. Hope is not optional. Hope is essential. People with hope endure more, they persevere longer, and live with greater purpose. As followers of Christ, when we come to the table, we're reminded of the incredible hope that we have for our future and for the future of this world because of Jesus Christ. God in his wisdom gave us communion as a repeated reminder of that hope. So when you're going through life and it feels a little bit uncertain, maybe try to take your mind back to the table, back to the promises that it represents, back to the hope that it represents. If Jesus kept his promise at the cross, he will keep his promise for your future as well. We are not just remembering. We are, as we come to the table, anticipating as well. We're anticipating a glorious reunion with our Heavenly Father. Lord God, thank you for the cross. As we've just come through Easter, we thank you for the open tomb. Today, we thank you for this table. Forgive us where we have drifted. Renew us where we're weary. Lord God, transform us from the inside out so that we can be true reflections of you. Heavenly Father, fix our eyes on the coming kingdom. And until that day, keep us faithful, keep us hopeful and close to you, Lord God. I pray this in your name. Amen. As we come to the table this morning, just remember, it's not just a ritual, right? It's not just a motion that we walk through as believers, but it's a response. If you're weary this morning, come to the table. If you're burdened this morning, come to the table. If you're thankful, come to the table. If you're here this morning and you're in need, come to the table. You don't have to have it all together to come to the table. You don't have to be in ruins to come to the table. Just come to the table. Come to Jesus.